She wasn't here Wednesday, and she's not here today, so. But she's my bride, and she's beautiful, and I'll keep thinking about her while. So. Aw, thank you. Yeah, I was trying to be cute, so. Well, it was an effort. Thank you. All right, last week we were talking about recognizing God's sovereignty. And when we recognize God's sovereignty, we're talking about how that leads to worship and then ultimately to surrender. This week, we're kind of bouncing off of that surrender aspect and what does that really entail? And this week's message is entitled Personal Sanctification. We've really been throwing big words at you guys, sovereignty, sanctification. It's like, you guys should bring a dictionary with you every week. But ultimately, when we surrender to God, we're surrendering to his will. And we want his will in our life. And God's will for us is to be sanctified. So what does sanctified mean? Sanctification means to be made holy or to be set apart or dedicated to God. How does sanctification happen? The first way, or one of the many ways, is it happens as we look at Jesus. When we look at him and we see how he lived his life, he walked out an entire life from birth to death perfectly. Knew no wrong. He didn't even, like, sample, you know, candy at the grocery store or the market there. I don't know how they, maybe they had samples back then. But now you're not allowed to. You're not supposed to sample at the grocery store. Anyways, it happens as we look at Jesus, as we look at how he was perfect, and we go, wow, that needs to be how I want to live my life. I want to measure myself up to him and not my peers or anybody else around me. Jesus told us in John 16, 7 through 13, so if you guys want to get there, I'm going to probably just read it. So if you get there, you get there. If not, there will be a few other scriptures that you can try and catch. And it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come." Next way sanctification happens is through the Holy Spirit, transforming us into the image of Christ. So we look and we see Christ and all that he has done. And then when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he begins this transforming process that begins to make us more and more like Christ. So that's the second way. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just by the Spirit of the Lord." That's why surrender is so important. The more we surrender to the Spirit, the more that we will be transformed. The more that he will be able to work in our life. It's like a glass. If it's, you know, only so much space can fill, you know, when you fill it with water, space fills up. When it's empty, it can be filled up. So we want the Spirit to be filling us up, running over constantly, and not leaving any room for anything else but God in our lives. So the more we allow the Spirit to work in our lives, the more we will be transformed. Next thing, sanctification happens as we are led by the Spirit. So not only will the Spirit begin to transform us, it will also begin to guide us. and he will produce his fruit in us. Turn with me to Galatians 5:22. If you can get there. I'm reading fast today. That's okay, because I'm trying to cruise through because we got a longer video for you guys today. So look forward to that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. All of these things will be present in your life. These are the things that you can look at your life and go, all right, do these things exist there? And if they exist there, that's how you know that the Spirit is working in your life. And the more prevalent they become, the more likely that the Spirit is working within you. There's also some examples of rotten fruit. Galatians 5:18. And it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. But you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are all very bad things. Some you probably go, oh, wow, they're worse than the other, but sin is sin, and it's all wrong. Sin separates us from God, whether it's a lie or whether it's, you know, robbing a bank. Sin is sin, and it all separates us from God. We don't want any form of jealousy, any form of anything that is not of the Spirit in our lives. We want only the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit, which let me read those one more time so I'm not leaving you with that long list of negative things. And those are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's good. All right. The third way. Sanctification happens as we meditate upon God's word. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Scripture is not only where we discover who God is, but it's also where we discover how to, you know, live our life. It is like a roadmap guiding us through life. Any issue that you encounter, you can find in Scripture. And I mean any. It is also where we find where God and how he views us. And I'm glad, actually, you mentioned when you were closing at the end there, how God really does. He views us as perfect. When you came into relationship with him, he no longer remembers your sin. He went, no, it's all gone. That's faded away. It's no longer there. I've taken care of that. And he views you as perfect. Yet, do we view our own selves as perfect? See, the problem isn't like, has God done enough? Often the problem is how we think and how we view ourselves. Our thinking still is stinking. Or it stinks. Thinks, stinks. It rhymes. All right. But God views you as perfect and whole. And so we still live in a fallen world where, you know, bad things happen. Sin is still a part of this world, unfortunately. But Jesus died for all sin, past, present, future. And that's how he's able to view us as perfect. And when we sin, it's separating from God, yes, but when we look back at our own sin, when we think about it, we think about that sin nature within us, it's like when you cut off an arm. you have the arm removed, but there's still, like, if you ever met somebody who has a missing arm, if that's you, raise your hand. I'm just kidding. That wouldn't work. And if somebody really did is missing an arm, I'm really sorry. I'm sensitive to that. I apologize. But they're still, they will tell you that they can still feel that arm. It's been a part of them so long that they can still feel it there, and they still, like, sense itches, pain on it. And that's how we, like, God has come. He has finished it. The finished work of the cross has made you perfect. But you still remember your old sin, your old ways. And oftentimes we tend to return to them simply out of just this habit. And that's why Sabbath and sanctification go hand in hand so well, is because Sabbath is a discipline. It's your time to spend with God, to allow him to transform him into more of his image. And it's why it's so important. Scripture is where we discover how God views us. It also is where we discover how to live our lives. And Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship. That he really does view us perfectly. He is happy and well-pleased with us. I want to show you guys a video here. So if you could cue that up, that'd be wonderful. And this video really, I think, illustrates the sanctification process really, really well. And just pay close attention. Have your hearts open to whatever God's going to speak to you, but take it away.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece.
You go up.
I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... Be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? That how can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you. But maybe for the first time in your life... The way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Well done, good and faithful servant. That needs to be our focus. We are so concerned, so wrapped up, and so worried in what other people think. Down to, I heard this terrible story. I don't even know where it came from, but girls getting made fun of because of the jeans that they wear. We are so concerned with what other people think of us that it allows us to affect our relationship with God. And they're right. God didn't make junk. He didn't just like, oh, here's some leftover clay from Adam. Let me just throw together you guys. No, he intricately made each and every single one of you. He took time to make each and every single one of you. That's how much he loves you. God views you as perfect. And I think it's time for you guys to start viewing yourselves the way God views you. So what we're going to do here is we're going to make a call. What I want you to do is we're going to turn the lights down low. And one by one, I want you to stand to your feet. Say your name and you are God's original masterpiece. So for me, it'd be, I'm Caleb, and I am God's original masterpiece. And then a step further, I am ready to live for Him. So I want you guys to take turns doing that, and I'll tell you when to go. So let's pull the lights down low, and she's going to continue to play. And once you do so, once you stand to your feet, I want you to just worship God. Just take the time, and we'll be done after that shortly. And if you are not ready to make that decision, you are not ready to stand and proclaim that I am God's original masterpiece, I am ready to live for Him, if that's you, our leaders are all back here in the back. I'm going to have them line the back row here. And we'd ask you to go and pray with them, or at least just talk about that with them. So I will count to three and then I'll say go. Let's bring the lights down. All right. And what we're saying, what you're proclaiming, I don't want this just to be meaningless words. You're saying, I am God's workmanship. I am God's original masterpiece. And I am ready to live for Him. One, two, three, go.